From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 27th day of April, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign County. Along the way, we'll hear from the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. Dave Dickey will be here with a look at the agricultural news for the day. And I'll tell you how to side dress even before the planters enter the field. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the soft red winter wheat pit for the afternoon. Futures were much lower, down in that nearby contract 24¼ cents at 5.08. July contract at 5.19½, down 23¾. In September at 5.46½, down 24 cents. December contract 5.68½, down 24¾. In the March at 5.84¾, down 23. May corn futures 3.72¼, 4¾ lower. July down a nickel at 3.80¾. And September 3.90 in settlement price there, down 5¼. December futures 4.01½, down 5¼. And the March contract at 4.13, 6 cents lower. May oat futures down 6¼ to $1.87. May soybeans at 10.04¾, down 35½. July at 9.97, down 37, and the August at 9.75¾, down 34¾. September beans 9.38¾, 31½ lower. November soybean futures at 9.04½, down 28¾. And the January at 9.09¾, down 28¼. May bean meal at 3.14, down 11.40. May oil 80 cents lower at 35.54. From the CME's livestock side, April live cattle 86.15, 70 cents lower. June at 81.80, down 80. August at 82.30, 67½ cents lower. April feeders at 99.45, down 30 cents. May at 98.60, down 52½. And the August at 99.75, down 60 cents. May lean hog futures $66.30 lower for the day. And June at 68.65, down 30 as well, or rather $3 there for both of those contracts. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures finished the day at $50.14 a barrel, down $1.41 in the June. July at $51.52, down $1.42. May ethanol $1.55 9¢, 1 1/10 lower. May gasoline, natural gas that is, at $3.26 8¢, down 2 9¢. Now the gasoline, the RBOB at $1.40 2¢, down 4 cents. Heating oil is diesel fuel, down 4 4/10 at $1.32 4¢ in propane futures. 4 cents higher at 64 cents even. Gold futures are trading at $907.40 an ounce, down $6.20 at this hour, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average 55 points lower at 80.21. The U.S. dollar at 85.69 is up 0.97, and the CRB index on the afternoon is currently trading at 218.19, down 135 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. Cloudy, widespread showers tonight, and some thunderstorms. Lows will range from 44 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 64 in the southern part of Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
From the University of Illinois, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the line with us this Monday afternoon, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to help us take a look at what happened in the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I hope that your baseball team over the weekend did better than the markets did today in Chicago.
Boy, we're like a producer. We're having a hard time getting it in. We've been rain delay after another. We've had 8 cancellations so far.
Oh, my. We had 5 over the weekend, so I've got kind of a tough voice today. I yelled a lot, and we picked up a championship. So,
good deal.
You know, there are always winners and losers, and that happens even at the Chicago Board of Trade. When it's down as hard as it was today, there will be people who walked away with money, won't there?
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one to swallow here, especially with the weather forecast the way it is and some producers sitting there ready to turn or will not be able to, then have the weekend news materialize like it did and sort of put a little thorn in the side here. But we'll see how the world news comes at us this evening and tomorrow morning as far as further reports of swine flu and if there's some deaths to follow that suit. But it reminds me of the mad cow concern. Mad cow broke loose here and sent the market limit down the grains, and that was the low, and grain market recovered from that. However, the cattle market took some time to recover. Same type of scenario here as far as the grain market goes. I don't know if it's really going to slow down world demand. It will probably actually increase consumption here in the U.S. if pork supplies are backed up. Producers will probably feed out a little longer and put a little bit more tonnage on the marketplace. So we'll see how that does unfold as we look forward. But the main concern is if it does continue to spread, it could slow down the economic recovery. It will slow tourism, especially the countries that's highly infected with it, and slow world trade as a whole. So we'll have to monitor this as we go. As far as the grain market was concerned, it was expected to be higher here starting the week due to the weather outlook here for the next 6 to 10 days.
I suppose at this point it's probably important to inform folks or make sure that they understand that in the United States, while there is swine flu in human cases, the herd itself is not infected with swine flu. And on the flip side of that, producers who are handling herds and their farm workers really need to continue to protect those herds in many ways. And a lot of it comes down to protecting the same way we protect ourselves from flu. Wash your hands. If you're sick, don't be in contact with other folks. If you're sick, don't go into the herd and don't take care of that herd. Just make sure that somebody's taking care of the herd, but not you. But the point is that I suppose the herd in the United States is not infected, and that I hesitate to say this because somebody's going to get mad at me probably, but it's not moving through our system, the pork production system in the U.S., into the human population. That human population, swine flu, is spreading, I think, from individual to individual. Now, given that, the World Health Organization, the WHO, and this is just good policy, reminds everybody that you're supposed to cook your meats fully. And that is one way that it can be spread. It shouldn't be in the swine or the pork that you're eating as long as it's produced in the U.S. at this point. But it behooves you to go ahead and follow those instructions and make sure that you get that pork cooked fully, because there are diseases that spread through through food in general. So we want to make sure that we follow those things. Beyond that, I guess I'll get off my high horse here and let you get back into the marketplace, because really what's happening is you get swine flu, and there are those economic things that are happening. Pork production will be impacted because the amount of pork eaten around the globe will contract because of swine flu. I'm almost positive that will be the case, and that's what the futures are telling us today, right?
Yeah, short term, and anybody that's been along the hog market, probably stepped aside here waiting see what type of fallout we see. Any type of news like this, 99% of the time, it's negative to prices. But it's unfortunate because the pork producers are going to take it on the chin. And like you mentioned, there's not in the U.S. swine herd at all. And that's a tough one to swallow here. So it's just going to take some time in through here. And hopefully we won't see a widespread here in the U.S. from human to human. And things can settled down here over time. You know, it sort of relates back to we've had bird flu quite a few times, and the fear was that it could spread human to human. and it never really did. In this case, it's a strain of flu that is spreading from human to human, so hopefully the fatality cases will be at the low end of expectations.
Let's get back to the grain side of the market. What are your expectations this afternoon from the crop weather report, and how far along producers will be on planting?
We feel we're going to be close to 22% complete. There's ideas we could be up to 25% complete as a nation. A huge amount of progress was made in the western Corn Belt. There's areas in Nebraska that's way too dry that almost came to a standstill because it's too dry. You get into Iowa, Minnesota, there's producers done. There's ideas that those states could be as much as 70% complete with their planting progress. Here in the Central Belt, there's a spot here and a spot there going, but we don't see a whole lot of progress in the Eastern Belt. A year ago at this time, as a nation, we were 10% planted. So, you know, if we come in at 20-25%, we're going to be ahead of last year's pace. To give you a little foresight, the week after that, we were only 27% planted last year. So we're still behind in our own mind, but compared to a year ago, we are ahead. The key, though, is once we get into mid part of May, that's when it's going to make a huge difference. But I think the trade's starting to think about it because we did see corn come back and put on a rally going into the close, with most futures closing 5 to 6 cents lower, whereas the corn's the bean market was the one that continued to be weak, with beans closing anywhere from 28 to 35 cents lower, Todd.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, the spread activity here looks as if we're going to see corn start to gain on beans here to a small degree, and if the weather continues to stay wet, look for that spread to be the big play in the May. Then secondly, we've been watching the livestock sector being extremely bullish as we go into 2010. If you're one wanting to invest $500, turn into $10,000-$15,000, you might want to take a look at some plays in the cattle and hog complex here over the next 6 to 7 months.
Hey, that reminds me of a political figure. I'll let you go.
Take care. Thank you, bud.
Bye-bye. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In agricultural news, American food safety officials will try to work through some meat trade issues when they meet next month with counterparts from Russia. At Russia's request, U.S. veterinary and food safety officials, along with meat industry representatives, will talk about trade difficulties between the two nations. In 2008, U.S. chicken exports to Russia were worth $825 million and pork $476 million. But the countries have different inspection and certification standards, which has led to friction. During the past year, Russia has disallowed exports from 34 U.S. pork facilities that account for as much as half of U.S. production. Meanwhile, outbreaks of swine flu have prompted several countries to ban the import of pig meat, raising the prospect that the disease will add a further protectionist blow to sagging world trade. On Sunday, Russia banned imports of all meat not treated thermally from Mexico, Texas, California, and Kansas. Analysts say Mexico's deadly swine flu could disrupt trade and travel between the U.S. and Mexico if it prompts restrictions on the movement of goods across the border or sparks fear in consumers. Bob Young, chief economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says, quote, if you end up with a significant demand shift, you could end up with a very substantial effect on our products, whether it be government-imposed restrictions or alternatively, if the consumers just decide to say no. The World Health Organization has said it is concerned about 800 influenza-like cases in Mexico. The group confirmed the outbreak of a new strain of swine flu in the U.S. and says that more than 100 people have died of swine flu in Mexico. And fertilizer maker CF Industries Holdings Incorporated says its first quarter profit fell 61% as higher costs pressured its margins, even as revenue topped Wall Street estimates. The Deerfield, Illinois-based company says that it earned $62.7 million, or $1.28 per share, for the 3 months ending March 31st, compared with $158.8 million, or $2.76 per share, a year ago. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can find both of those programs anytime you'd like to listen to on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can listen directly from the website or have them delivered to your computer as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. So is a way to subscribe to our weekend marketing newsletter. It's absolutely free. You can subscribe, unsubscribe, and manage your own account. It's all right there on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. Now up next, farmers, you know, in the lower two-thirds of the Midwest are still trying to figure out just how and when they'll apply some of the rest of that nitrogen. One agronomist suggests side dressing even before the planters hit the field, if you can't get them in yet. GPS and AutoSteer have made it possible for farmers to do something they couldn't in the past. University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger says he's never been a fan of starter fertilizers, but says putting real N down between the rows, even before a corn crop has been planted, is a great option.
Certainly this is true in central and southern Illinois, and in most years in northern Illinois, we do not see very much benefit from placing nitrogen near the seed. In other words, a starter effect. Now, some people firmly believe in that, and they say, well, their corn always grows better, they feel they get higher yields, and they're probably going to want to continue to do that. On the other hand, many planters simply aren't equipped to do that. This situation has changed a little bit with the AutoSteer and some of the options that we have today. It's possible, as I've said, to side dress today even before you plant, just keeping your nitrogen between where the rows are going to be. That's probably a safe way to do it, and that's probably a good way to do it.
Side dressing is a term that had been reserved for applying nitrogen in anhydrous ammonia form between the rows well after the crop was up and growing. AutoSteer and GPS units have made that much easier today and even possible when the rows are not in place. This spring, when the corn crop will go in the ground, late for the most part, the AutoSteer option may be more important than ever before.
Certainly, if I don't have nitrogen on today, I want to wait until I have planted or go out with AutoSteer and RTK and put it on between where the rows are going to be, rather than to try to put it on in sort of as a general pre-plant operation, if it's anhydrous ammonia. If it's UAN or urea, then that makes less of a difference. And we just want to make sure to protect those farms when we put them on.
There's an important note on the AutoSteer and the GPS unit guiding the tractor. The GPS should be accurate to less than 1 foot. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is a Monday afternoon. Time to take a look at what happened in the cash grain markets over the weekend. And today on the line with us, Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we had a nice little chat on Commodity Week. What'd you make of that one to begin with?
Well, As Drew said, we're probably not going to ask him back anytime soon.
Yeah,
his cold and wet forecast for the next 2 weeks is not what we wanted to hear, but hopefully we can dodge some of the rain, and maybe, you know, we're making some progress today, and if we only get a quarter to a half inch instead of the huge rains that they got out in Iowa over the last few days, maybe we'll get back in the field sometime soon.
And what are your folks saying about the impact of swine flu on the marketplace today?
Well, you know, it really, other than a psychological impact, you know, and assuming that we can prove that there's nothing in the U.S. herd, you know, you wouldn't think that it would have a big impact on U.S. exports. But that seems to be the concern right now with China and Russia and some other countries, you know, banning imports from or exports from the U.S. But hopefully things will calm down and cooler heads will prevail and we'll resume our exports at somewhat of a normal pace. So other than the, you know, the knee-jerk reaction, hopefully this is just a short-term blip, and we'll go back to trading, you know, more long-term things like supply and demand.
Stand to the side then and wait for the blip back to the upside to take an opportunity?
Yeah, actually the market acted very, you know, pretty well today, all things considered, you know, with the outside markets down and this news in the marketplace. Corn was down almost 15 cents at one point, only closing down 5. While we hate to see it down 5, that's better than 15 lower, and beans were down over 50 cents at one point in time, and they got to the point where they, at one point, they were down only 10 or 11 cents before they sold off late in the day. So really not that bad of a close today, and I think the weather, you know, all eyes will turn to the planting progress this afternoon and then the weather forecast for the next couple of weeks.
Ellen Dearden told us that she thought producers were going on Thursday and Friday, and Menard and Logan counties in the center of the state. I talked to my parents after that, or my dad after that, and they farm in both of them, and they were gone on Thursday and Friday, and I know they went Saturday and Sunday, too, and I suspect they're still going today. How are things going here in eastern Illinois? I saw a couple of planters yesterday as they traveled from here to Mattoon.
Yeah, a few started on Saturday. A majority got started on Sunday, and then a few more even yet today, trying to get a little bit done before the rain. So, you know, we are going to see some planting progress. Those numbers that come out this afternoon are going to be as of Saturday or Sunday. So, you know, probably not much more than 15% statewide, and probably less than that as you go east. But you get across west of the Mississippi, and there was a lot of corn that got planted last week ahead of the storm. So we'll see a tale of two cities, the haves in the western Corn Belt and the have-nots in the eastern Corn Belt.
And then turn your attention to the soybeans. We had a pretty good drop there, and they managed to finish down 35, the low at, and that November contract was 884 today. And while they settled 20 cents above that at 904.5, they still lost 28¾ cents. Not a very good performance for the beans.
No, and they've gone up quite a bit. You know, people look at the one day, or they remember the one day, but you have to remember the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, beans have put on a nice, impressive $1.50 rally. So, you know, they can't go up forever as much as we'd like to think they could. And, you know, just remember back 2 months ago, people would have signed up for $9 new crop beans and $10 old crop beans, and now all of a sudden, you know, people want to get a little greedy and say, well, 10's a good price, but 11's even better, and 11 is better, but only if it gets there. And if they go back to 9, $10 will look like a pretty good sale.
Speaking of prices, what are your bids for the day?
Old crop corn, 367. New corn, 371. Old beans are 997. New beans, 869. And new wheat, 429.
Greg Johnson, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the weather.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Public health officials say it's only a matter of time before cases of swine flu emerge in Illinois. State Public Health Director Damon Arnold says the focus right now is on special populations, such as children, seniors, and immigrants, and they're ready to handle any possible infections. 7 people with cold symptoms have already been tested for the swine flu, but none are carrying the virus. And Champaign-Urbana Public Health Director Julie Pride says everyone should follow common sense measures, like staying home and contacting a doctor if you're sick. Meanwhile, Mexico-bound travelers at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport say they're worried about the swine flu outbreak at their destination. The Chicagoan Lucy Hernandez is traveling to a family event elsewhere in Mexico, but she says she wouldn't go to Mexico at all if she didn't have to go for the get-together. Others in a Mexicana Airlines check-in line say they brought surgical masks to wear once they land in Mexico. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn is intending to seek a full term as chief executive in 2010. Quinn told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch he planned to seek election to the post he took over from impeached and ousted Governor Rod Blagojevich. A spokeswoman confirmed the news, saying Quinn believes he's doing a good job and sees no reason not to run. Marlena Jentz emphasizes that the Democrat hasn't formally announced, with the focus now on the budget crisis, saying it calls for governing and not campaigning. The president of Southern Illinois University says he takes exception to claims that contracts have been improperly handled. Glenn Bouchard is reacting to criticism about contracts that went to his son's marketing agency. They're intended to bring broadband internet service to the region. Bouchard says strict rules are in place to prevent abuse, including a requirement that all contracts be competitively bid and that his son's must be the lowest bid. Recounts will be conducted in two Champaign County election races. On Thursday, county clerk staff will recount a village president's race in Bonneville. There, Dale Munns defeated Kyle Kenneker by a single vote, and Lynn Stuckey missed out on a seat for the Champaign Unit 4 school board race on April 7th by two votes. A discovery count in that race will take place Friday morning. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Josh Darr up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, I think from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. Is it a beautiful sight up there today, or kind of gray? And
cloud deck moving in here after, we had a bit more unsettled weather than you guys down in Champaign this weekend, but the front is moving into Illinois in a big way today.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's after a pretty fair and unseasonably warm weekend across the central southern portions of Illinois and points east in the corn and bean belt here. We have shower activity that's moved into Illinois today. It's cleared most of the state of Iowa. That rain shower here in Illinois will be with us for 24 to 36 hours. The heaviest rain totals will be overnight tonight before we get a bit of a break on Wednesday and Thursday before the next round of showers moves into Illinois late Thursday night into Friday. So after a period of pretty good open weather late last week and into the weekend across central and southern portions of Illinois, we're getting into a more unsettled pattern here for the next 7 days.
You think it'll be enough to shut producers down?
Well, I don't know that the activity today is, but you combine the activity we have here today with what we have tomorrow. Maybe you do get back in the fields for a little bit of time here in Illinois before that next round of precip gets in here Thursday night and Friday. Certainly the open weather here of late has helped, but I guess one area, northern portions of Illinois, they've had more frequent rain here over the past 10 days. They were in the rain zone most of the weekend. There's probably slow going in northern portions of Illinois, and that looks to be a little bit more heavier of a rainfall zone here upcoming the next week.
Now, some of the producers in the northeastern part of Iowa are reported to be done, or at least a long ways a far distance along.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wouldn't mind getting a rainfall, I suppose, on some of that crop. Will they get it?
Yeah, yes. They got some good rainfall totals here over the weekend, 2 to 3 inches in eastern portions of Iowa. They're clear now, but they do get another chance here in Iowa, specifically starting on Thursday morning. So they're about a day ahead of the Illinois rainfall here. And they look to be unsettled through Saturday. So, after most of the Western Belt got in here with the open weather and drier conditions they've had preceding that warmer weather, this rainfall is certainly beneficial in that part of the belt.
What other parts of the world are you watching?
Portions of Europe actually have trended drier here over the past past month, the 45 days. And so portions of northern France, Poland, and even portions of Russia are dry, and that may have some implications for planting of the summer crop as well as the maturation of the winter wheat crop in that area. So that's an area we're watching rather closely.
Take me into China if you can.
China, things look great in China. They have had pretty timely rainfall here, and looking ahead, they're a bit warmer than normal the next week to 10 days, and periodic rain showers here every 3 to 4 days puts the majority of that belt in really good shape for this time of year.
All right. Thanks much, Josh.
All right.
We'll talk to you again later.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Josh Darr. He is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear what he had to say again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And if you can't get to the website, you
can't hear us on the radio station because you're under the planter working or just outside and not able to listen to us at some point, you can always call us at 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We update the markets just after the opening at 10:15 and after the close at 3:15 on that line, 333-3434. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.